Kings chapter 1. It sure was good to have Nelson Dorr with us last Sunday, wasn't it? Amen. And he did preach a great message about the truth. And it's kind of easy to preach the truth when you have the Bible. Amen? Because it's full of truth. The Bible says, thy word is truth. And so I enjoyed his time with us last Sunday. But we're back in 1 Kings. We are looking at the life of Solomon. And we just began this series a couple of weeks ago. And today we're going to look at this contest for the kingdom a little more closely. And in particular, what you're going to see today is the way God accomplishes his will even when men oppose him. Yesterday morning at about 9:30, a number of us met here, and we went out in the neighborhoods looking for children to come to Vacation Bible School. And we did find a few. And Matt Perry and I went together, and he pulled the ice chest full of popsicles. That's why he's limping today. And we came to a house and knocked on the door, and as soon as the door opened, I forgot who spoke first, but I said, I had my door hanger in my hand. I was ready to go, and I said, we're here to invite your children to Vacation Bible School. And this grumpy voice came out of the dark. I never saw anything. It was so dark in this room, and the screen door was making it even harder to see. I couldn't see anything, but I could hear this grumpy voice say, not interested. And I thought, well, I'm going to try again. And so I said, well, you know, we have some popsicles. Would the kids like some popsicles? And I heard a little voice inside, a little child's voice. Yeah. And the grumpy voice says, not interested. And it kind of breaks your heart. And you say, well, that child has no chance. That dad or stepdad or whoever he is going to keep that child away from God. You think? I think God has a way of getting around people like that, don't you? God has a way of getting around people that try to frustrate or stop his plan. In fact, isn't the Bible full of just that very thing? Cain says, I'm going to stop God's plan. I'm going to kill the firstborn. God sent Seth. Here in 1 Kings chapter 1, there is one of David's sons. We talked about him 2 weeks ago. His name's Adonijah. He's mentioned in verse 5. And Adonijah says, I don't care what the king said. I am going to replace him. I know that's not his will. That's not his plan. But I'm going to usurp his authority. I'm going to make this happen. It didn't come to pass. At the end of the story, what you'll see is God's will was accomplished. And we're going to see how. Because the very same way that God's will was accomplished here in Solomon's life is the very same way his will can be accomplished in your life and in my life and in our church. And it all, I'll give you a little hint before I get started here, it all centers around the promises of God. I hope you know some of them. My favorite one, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there's some other good ones too. I like the ones in the Psalms about the righteous being delivered from afflictions, and I won't get into those details, but I will ask you to stand. I cannot read the entire passage for the sake of time, but we're going to begin in 1 Kings chapter 11, chapter 1, verse 11, and I'm going to read a little ways here, and then we'll stop and have a word of prayer. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 11, wherefore, now just in case you don't remember, that's because of what Adonijah trying to steal the kingdom, wherefore, Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith doth reign? And David our Lord knoweth it not. Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. And Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber, and the king was very old, And Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance to the king. And the king said, "What wouldest thou?" And she said unto him, "My lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now, behold, Adonijah reigneth. And now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not. He hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon thy servant hath he not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we see so many things in this passage that encourage us. When Bathsheba came to David the king, things didn't look well. It didn't look like the promise was going to be kept. It didn't look like there was going to be a succession that involved Solomon. But the plan was, and the promise was, that Solomon would be king. And Lord, in the end, we realize you kept your promise, David kept his promise, and Solomon became the king. Lord, today it may appear to us that things aren't going the direction that we would like. It may appear that the devil is winning. It may appear that there's not hope. But God, forgive us for not ever coming to you when we doubt. Forgive us for not trusting you and for not hoping in you. We know that when we hope in you, that there is always going to be an answer. God, help us today to see these things in the Bible and to understand them. And I do pray if there's one here who's not saved, that they'd realize that today. You'd make it so very clear to them that they cannot escape it. And they'd come and find Christ as Savior. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Got to go through the story with you to understand how to apply it. I'm excited about the application. As I was reading these verses, I keep seeing things here that jump out at me. For example, in verse 11, when she says to David, she says, "Our Lord." When Nathan says to her, "Our Lord knoweth it not." Sometimes you may forget, folks. God knows. God's fully aware of the situation in your life. You say it doesn't look like God's doing anything. It didn't look like that here either, but he was. And so many things we're going to see. Let's just remind ourselves of the characters here to begin with. We have David. He's the king. And he has the authority and the power, but his will is being ignored and his word has not been followed. He has declared that Solomon would be the king, but someone else is trying to take his place. And he has made some promises, and those promises are apparently in jeopardy. And we'll talk about that some more in just a minute. Then there's the king's son, Solomon, the rightful heir, the one that the king had chosen to reign. We have the prophet Nathan. He's the man who represents and gives out God's word. And he is in the situation. We have Bathsheba, the bride, the one closest to the king who has the king's ear. We have the opponent, Adonijah, the king's son who is trying to steal the throne. We have some friends that are loyal to the king, like Zadok the priest and Benaiah, the faithful servant. And then we have some opportunists who are disloyal to the king, like Joab and Abiathar. Now, if you listen a little bit, you start to hear some parallels with the situation you and I are in. I think of David, and I think of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has been promised by God he will be the king. David has made some promises. Folks, God's made some promises. Do you believe them? They're going to come to pass. And then you have Solomon, and I think of him as a picture of Christ. He's the rightful heir. He will rule and reign. Folks, people may not like it. They may not approve of it, but Jesus Christ will rule forever and ever. And he deserves to rule in your life and mine today. There's the prophet Nathan, and I think of him as a picture of the Word of God. He is the one that brings the promise to light. He is the one that confirms the word that Bathsheba brings to David and Nathan the prophet. You see, when the prophet spoke, it was the word of God. You have a Bible, and that Bible promises you things, and folks, don't let anyone take them away from you. God will keep those promises. You have this bride, Bathsheba. I'm going to be a little bit sketchy here, but not too much really. I think of her as you and I. We are, if you will, the bride of Christ, and we are in fact going to one day share a rule and a reign with him for in the millennial reign of Christ. But when we look and we see the world around us, it doesn't look like Jesus is going to be the king. But folks, he is. And it's our job to do what Bathsheba did, which is, in our case, to go to God and bring those promises back out and say, God, you promised this and we're counting on you. You see, she really doesn't have any power except to go to the king and remind him of his promises. And folks, call upon the promises of God. I'm telling you, the Bible says he'll answer, though he'll fulfill those promises. Then you have the opponent, Adonijah. You know, you might think of him as the devil in a sense, and this is just helpful to understand the passage. Adonijah is the enemy, the one that rejects Solomon as king. We meet people all the time that reject Christ as king. I'm sorry for them, because unless they accept him, the Bible says they're going to spend eternity in hell. And all these folks that are trying to promote their cause and their lifestyle and their rejection of Christ, it may look like they're doing just fine, but folks, in a moment, God's going to take care of that one day, and they're going to realize their error. I think of that man yesterday that says, no, I'm not interested. And we walked away from the door, and I told Mr. Perry, I said, one day he will be. One day he will be. I don't know if you think about that very often. It's not, we don't need to be vindictive. It's not our job to get even. But if that man doesn't receive Christ for all eternity, he's going to be in hell thinking, there was a day when two fellows came to my door with an ice chest full of popsicles and wanted to show me how to find Christ. And I'm here because I said, not interested. But pray that child gets saved. Amen? Amen? Folks, God keeps his promises. The opponent, Adonijah. Then the friends loyal to the king, Zadok and Benaiah. The opportunists disloyal to the king, Joab and Abiathar. All these people, we live in a very similar situation. Now here's the story, and we're going to go through it, and then I'll apply it for you. Nathan sounds the alarm to Bathsheba in verse 11. He says to her, haven't you heard? Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign. Things aren't going well. And he says in verse 12, he says, now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, save your life, save Solomon's life, go to the king in verse 13 and talk to him and ask this question, didn't you make this promise? And don't you see what's happening? And folks, you understand God knows, amen? Amen. But remind yourself, the fact that God knows things does not remove our responsibility to pray about them. You understand that? The Lord Jesus Christ was all God, but he was also all man. And he spent all night praying on several occasions. And before he went to the cross, he prayed. And it wasn't that God did not know, but God expects you and I to come to him with our requests. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your need. But the Bible also tells us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Do you pray the way you should? You see, the picture here, once again, is this Nathan, the prophet, the word of God, is he pictures, comes to you and I and says, go to the king. Did you go to the king this morning? We did. We went to the king right back here in prayer. And we went to the king this morning before we got here. And we'll go to the king later today. We've been going to him throughout the service because we want to remind him, God, we trust your promises. We're counting on that. Folks, pray. It makes a difference. No, so she reminds him of the promise and the words that the prophet said, which the word of God said that confirm it. Then she goes to the king. She asks her requests. Bathsheba recalls the king's promise. She tells about Adonijah. She tells about these people on Adonijah's side. And she reminds the king his reputation is at stake. This is all very interesting. And then she says that she is in danger. Folks, were it not for God's protection, the devil would have taken all of us out of the scene a long time ago. You trust me, there is danger. It's just that God protects you, and sometimes we take it for granted. But when you have a situation and it doesn't look like it's going the way God wants it to go, go to the Lord and ask him. Now, sometimes he does things the way we didn't expect him to, and we talked about that in Sunday school a little bit. Sometimes he'll let us go through some things so he can deliver us, but he will deliver us, and there is a reason for what he does. So now, Nathan, this man that we think of as the Word of God, the prophet, he comes in right behind in verse 22, and he confirms her words. It says, "Lo, while she yet talked with the king," in verse 22, "Nathan the prophet came in, and they told the king." And you know what that is? When you go to God and you claim his promises, the Bible backs you up. Folks, God's word does not return void. God's promises are always kept. And when you pray in conformity with the word of God, you remember that passage in the New Testament where Jesus says, if you ask anything according to my will, well, where are you going to find his will? In the word of God. So you go to God. I know a man, in fact, I've done this from time to time, he does it every day, that will read the Psalms in prayer. He'll read the Psalms in prayer. Try that sometime. Try praying a psalm. It's very moving and it's very impressive. What you're doing is you're coming to God with what he has said, making it a part of you, making it a part of your prayer. And folks, it's just once again reminding us, God made promises. They're in the word of God. They're sure he will keep them. There's no reason to doubt. The situation was never in jeopardy. God was always going to have his will. But sometimes, maybe many times, he waits for you and I to come to him and ask. And then the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. So you can see a lot of comfort in this message, because as the situation looks perilous, the promises of God overcome the peril. The uncertainty is no longer there. David said it, that settles it. We see how this story ends. Is that the way you live your life? What do you trust in? Someone says, well, if I had a little more money. You know what? I know some guys that have got a whole lot of money. We read about them in the news every day. And they're not all that happy. And they got problems. And they've got enemies. And they've got frustrations. And wouldn't it be so sad to live your life and be fabulously wealthy and then die and go to hell? Folks, money's not the answer. God's the answer. Oh, if I had a job and I could make a few dollars, then my life would change. No, it wouldn't. Because there's a lot of folks out there with a lot of jobs that make a few dollars and they need Christ. And we do too. So as we go on, David calls his wife Bathsheba in verse 28. And look at this. We'll read this real quick. King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore and said, as the Lord liveth. Now, you might not know it, but that is the strongest oath a man can make in the Old Testament, according to the life of God. As the Lord liveth, and he does. As the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress. Well, let's park there for a minute. God redeemed David's soul out of all distress. David knew distress. Solomon, his son, was the result of some of that distress, because his son before Solomon had died because of his sin with Bathsheba. His sons had rebelled against him. King Saul had tried to kill him and chased him around in the wilderness for years and years. And David knew distress. It's okay to know distress if you know God. Amen? Because God can overcome that distress. And he's got a purpose for letting you go through those things. And David said, he can tell them, I have experienced this. God has overcome my distress in verse 29. He says in verse 30, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. Now, I like to think of Bathsheba maybe as a picture of the church, in particular our church. What does the Bible command us to pray? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Do you pray for the kingdom of God to come to earth? The Bible says in the Revelation, pray, even so, come Lord Jesus. Maybe the reason the Lord hadn't come back yet is because we're not praying for it enough. I don't know, but I pray for it. Do you? What else do you pray for? You say, well, Pastor, I'm really busy. I don't have a lot of time to pray. Oh, come on. We've got time to read the internet, and we've got time to watch television, and we've got time to sit around and drink coffee and all the rest. Take some time and pray. I don't mention this often, and I'm not trying to be boastful, but I prayed for the members of this church by name this week. I prayed for you. Hope you prayed for me. Hope you prayed for the Lord to come back. Hope you prayed for God to send visitors today. Hope you prayed for the Lord to keep you faithful and to help you to live closer and walk closer to Him. I hope you prayed that God would bless our church this summer and bless our vacation Bible school. And there's so much to pray about. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I think of Bathsheba, just kind of like our church, and she came before the king and she said, you made a promise. And I like what the king said, I'm going to keep it. Folks, God keeps His promises. Shame on us if we don't know enough of them to be comforted by that. So David commands in verse 32. The king David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. The king also said, this is verse 33, unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow ye the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And I won't read the rest of it to you, but that's just the way it went. And the enemy that tried to frustrate the king's plan was defeated. And the man that God, the king had said was going to be the king was. Solomon ruled and reigned. Have you read Matthew chapter 1? It's very important that this event took place, because in Matthew chapter 1, the Bible gives us a genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it talks about Solomon. He's in there. This is God's plan being preserved. Now, I've got just a few minutes. Let me show you a simple application of this, if I could. We talked about some of it already. First of all, go back to verse 11. Remember, Nathan, the prophet, the man that gave the word of God. Folks, step one, the precepts, in other words, the word, the precepts of God establish the plan. Nathan comes and he says, here's what the situation is. He gives counsel. And folks, we get our counsel from the Bible. Did you read your Bible this week? Did you open the Bible in the morning and look at it and say, Lord, please speak clearly to me and show me what you want me to see? And sometimes what you want to see and what God wants you to see might be two different things. But shame on us if we don't open the Bible to find God's will. That it all begins with the precepts of God. There's a lot of people. Matt and I talked to a fellow the other day, yesterday, who is in a situation where he's got some false doctrine going, and I didn't get into it with him at the time. But the trouble is, there are some people today that say they serve God, but they're not doing it God's way. There are some Christians that say they serve God, but they're not reading their Bible and doing what the Bible says. And the precept is what establishes God's will. There are some Christians and a lot of lost people as well that have trouble in their life and don't understand why, and it's because they've walked away from God's plan. Folks, you have a lot of say as to how your life goes. Now, God in His love can protect you. But I've seen time and time and time again in the Bible, for God will let somebody, the Bible teaches this, God will let somebody feel the consequences of their disobedience so they will come back to Him. If you will come back to Him, He can restore you. But if you will not come back to Him, it's going to get tough. Folks, there is not another plan that's acceptable. God's plan is the plan, and the Bible tells us how that goes. Then, after the precepts of God establish the plan, look at verse 16. This is us. The people of God expressed their petition. Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king, and the king said, what wouldest thou? You and I can come before God this week and say, Lord, here's my prayer. I cannot tell you what to pray for in your situation. In some cases I know, in some I don't. But I can tell you, pray for our church. Pray for our vacation Bible school. Pray for our workers. Pray for us to have a new bus driver. Mark Hall will be leaving us in 2 weeks. Nobody else here has a CDL but me. And it may be in the long run we wind up having to get a van instead of a bus because it's so hard. The government, helping us all that they do, has made it so hard to get a CDL that you barely can get one. I talked to the people this week, and you have to now have 40 hours of certified classroom time for a mere $5,000, and then you can go get a CDL. So when there's a truck driver shortage in the next few years and you want to wonder why, just remember, well, anyway, we need a bus driver for our bus, or we need a van to replace it. Folks, take your petitions to God. Don't miss that opportunity. If Bathsheba hadn't gone to the king, what would have happened? Nothing. Well, maybe God would have found another way, but God's plan is for us, his people, to go to him. Somebody's got to say amen. You're worrying me here. Amen. We need to pray. All right, here we go. The precepts of God, the word of God establishes the plan. The people of God express their petition. They pray. Now, this is the good part. Verse 28. Then the power of God enforces the promise. In verse 28, King David answered and he said, call me Bathsheba. In verse 29, he says, he swear, as the Lord liveth. In verse 30, he says, I'm going to do this and Solomon's going to sit on the throne. The word of God had already established the plan. The people of God prayed, and now the power of God comes into play. And folks, when God says it, that settles it.
Amen.
And folks, God has to do the work. You see our place in this. Our place is not to provide the power. Our place is to provide the petition, the prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, God's got a place for us in his plan. That little child whoever that man was, who's got a man standing between him and Christ, I do not have the wherewithal, legally, to go take care of that situation, but God does. But you know what I can do? I can pray. And then the power of God comes into effect. Amen? Do you see that? That's why it's important for us to bring our petition to God. Now look at the end of the story and we're done. Go down to verse 39. 1 Kings 1:39. Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet. And all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. And then the bad guys heard it, but we won't read that part right now. Folks, when God is exalted, the whole earth will rejoice. When God keeps his promises, we rejoice, don't we? I think it's something that happened this last year to just show you how God works. We knew that this loan was going to come due sometime in the near future, but I honestly did not know the exact date. I presumed that it was going to be sometime after in the five-year mark. I didn't know how the terms or whatever. So this last year, what God did was he blessed us financially. He blessed our school. We had more students this last year than we've ever had before. He blessed our church with some offerings that were in excess. We had been typically just a little below budget, and this year we are above budget. So I talked with some trepidation on Monday to the banker, and I said, well, here's the deal. We need to know what to do because we don't have $300,000. And the banker says, here's what you need to do. Send me your financial statements and your membership records, just a count. He didn't want names. And he said, and then we'll see what we can do for you. And I thought to myself, ha-ha, God blessed us this year. He's going to like what he sees. Now, God knew before we ever knew what we needed, didn't he? Folks, God has the power. Do you have the prayer? Amen? You have not because you ask not, or because you ask amiss. You can see the importance. The queen's role, just our role in the whole situation is come to the king with our petition, backed up by the word of God, based on his promises, and then the king will act. And the end of the story is Solomon was crowned, the people rejoiced, and the enemy was defeated. I read the end of the book. God wins. But are you going to be a part of that, or are you going to be a bystander? Say, oh, Pastor, there's things I want to do in my life. I want to get a job, and I want people to like me, and I want to be important. And no, you don't. You think you want that. You know what you really want? If you know what's best for you, you want to please God. You want to live and glorify Him. Seek ye first. We looked at this on Wednesday 2 weeks ago. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Young people, if you're out there trying to get the things before you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, don't count on succeeding. I'm done. Our place as a church, as the bride of Christ, is to pray to the King for Him to fulfill His promises. And when we do our part, He'll do His part. Amen? Amen? Amen. So I'll stand and pray.